Sarah. I'm a Clemson University master's student working with Dr. Michael Jones and Dr. Todd Campbell. And I'm studying Gossypium barbudens, which I'm sure you're all very familiar with by now, but I'll go ahead and introduce it anyways. It's also known as Sea Island, Pima, or Egyptian cotton, just depending on its area of production. It's an extra long staple cotton, meaning that its fibers are generally longer than 1 3/8 of an inch. In the United States, it's currently only produced in 4 states, which are California, Arizona, New Mexico, and right here in Texas. Last year, about 275,000 acres were planted, which accounts for about 3% of the total cotton production in the United States, with the other 97%, of course, being upland cotton, Gossypium hirsutum. So why would we want to grow Pima in South Carolina? Well, I mentioned on the last slide that Pima has longer fibers, but it also has stronger, finer, and more uniform fibers than upland, which are all properties that contribute to the efficiency of the spinning process. So due to its superior fiber quality, it's valued at almost twice as much as upland at $1.13 per pound as of December 27th, with upland at only 64 cents per pound. And with cotton being such a huge commodity for South Carolina, accounting for about $157 million in revenue in 2018, being able to incorporate some Pima cotton production into our current cotton production system could only further boost the economic impact that cotton has on our state. A brief history of barbudens in South Carolina. It was actually grown in some of our coastal regions prior to the 1930s, which is where it got the name Sea Island cotton. But when the boll weevil invaded the cotton belt in the early 1920s, growers stopped producing Pima and continued to only produce upland cotton because its growing season was about 3 to 4 weeks shorter, and they were able to escape yield losses better by just growing upland. However, now the boll weevil has been eradicated, and our agronomic management practices and genetics have improved since the 1930s, which is why we hypothesize that it can be grown in South Carolina once again. So here's just a little timeline of the project. It actually started back in 2015, where we obtained the seed from the USDA cotton germplasm collection in College Station. In 2016, we grew out 155 accessions for observation, looking at their productivity and fiber quality. And of those 155, 43 performed the best and were increased for seed in Arizona to be used in the replicated field trials of the study in 2018 and 2019. So there are two objectives, but the first one is to identify Pima accessions with acceptable adaptation, agronomic performance, and fiber quality when managed for earliness, and also to determine the impact of ginning method on production by using a traditional saw gin and a roller gin, which I'll talk more about in a minute. So here's the design. It's a 2-year agronomic performance trial with 43 Pima accessions, 5 commercial Pima varieties, and 2 high-yielding upland checks. It's set up in a randomized complete block design with 4 replications, so a total of 200 test plots. We looked at a lot of traits in this study, but these are just some of the main ones, and the ones that I've bolded and put in blue are the ones that I'll talk about today, which are lint yield, fiber length, fiber strength, micronair, and the net return values of some of these Pima varieties. So let's start with the lint yield. On the x-axis, we have the all 50 varieties. In the trial, the ones in blue are the Pima accessions, the ones in yellow are the commercial Pima varieties, and the ones in red are the upland checks. We did have a significant difference between years with a 59% increase of the trial mean. So in 2018, it was 399 pounds per acre, and in 2019, it was 636, with 45 of the 50 performing better in 2019. The next thing to look at is how the Pima accessions and varieties compare to the upland checks. They did yield about 50% lower in both years of the study, but something to keep in mind is that these are not just average upland varieties. These are 2 of the top performing ones that we have in South Carolina, leading our variety trials in both yield and fiber quality. So moving on to the fiber quality data. For 2018, the trial mean was 34.5 grams per tex, with 43 Pima accessions having significantly stronger fibers than the upland checks, and all 5 commercial Pima varieties having stronger fibers than the upland checks. In 2019, we see the trial mean increase from 34.5 to 40.8, again with all of the PMIC sessions and commercial varieties having stronger fibers than the upland checks. As for fiber length, the trial mean in 2018 was 1.30 inches, with 35 of the accessions having longer fibers than the upland, and 4 of the 5 commercial Pima varieties having longer fibers than the upland. In 2019, we see that mean increase from 1.30 to 1.33, this time with 39 accessions and all 5 commercial Pima varieties having longer fibers than the upland checks. Now moving on to Micronair, it's a little bit different, but I highlighted the premium range, which is about between 3.7 and 4.2. So in 2018, we only had 7 accessions in the premium range and 19 in the discounted range, with a trial mean of 3.5. In 2019, we see the trial mean increase to 4.0, this time with 28 accessions in the premium range, all 5 commercial Pima varieties in the premium range, and only 2 in the discounted range. Now, moving on to the net return. This was calculated using Cotton Incorporated's loan calculator by doing the Pima at the Pima base price and the upland at the upland base price. It's calculated by adding together the lint value with the premiums and discounts included, the seed value, and then subtracting the cost of ginning and picking, and in this case, it's saw ginning. And when I compared the top 5 with each other, the top 5 with the uplands, there was no significant difference. In 2019, we saw a very similar trend. This time, it was just with a few different top 5 Pima varieties. However, 2 did remain from the previous year, which were P79 and E14. Okay, now for the ginning method. The purpose of this was to determine whether or not growers in South Carolina would have to gin their Pima cotton on a roller gin to still achieve the high Pima fiber quality. And so we separated samples in half from the harvest bags, ginned one half on a laboratory tinsol gin in Florence, and the other half on a roller gin in Arizona, thanks to Olvey and Associates. And what we found for 2018 was that only 5 had a significant difference between ginning method for fiber strength, with all 5 of them having stronger fibers on the saw gin. As for fiber length, 6 had a significant response, with 5 of them having longer fibers on the roller gin and 1 on the saw gin, which is less than we may have thought. However, we haven't gotten back the 2019 data, so we may see more entries with the response for this year. Now for objective 2, the goals of this were to compare the yield performance and fiber quality under irrigated and dryland conditions. We know that the Pima grown out west is regularly irrigated, so we wanted to see whether or not we would have to irrigate it in South Carolina's growing conditions, and also to evaluate the Pima varieties when planted on 3 different planting dates, an early date, which is late April, a normal date, which is mid-May, and a late date, which is late May. It's a 2-year two-year management trial with 5 entries. 3 are commercial Pima varieties, 1 is a PMIC session, and 1 is an upland check, and these were all used in Objective 1 as well. It's set up in a split-split plot design with 4 replications, the main plot being irrigation, the subplot being planting date, and the sub-subplot being variety. And here's just a little graphic I made of one of the blocks. And what we found in 2019 as far as lint yield was very similar to 2018, with the upland check producing significantly more yield than the Pima commercial Pima varieties and the Pima accession. And then for 2019, we also saw that there was no significant difference in lint yield for irrigated and dryland conditions, and we saw that in 2018 as well. In 2018, there was no significant difference between planting dates, but in 2019, there was slightly more significance with the earlier date producing more yield than the other 2 dates. In 2018, there was 1 significant interaction with planting date and variety, where Phytogen 881 produced significantly more yield when planted on the normal date as opposed to the other 2 dates. In 2019, we did not see that interaction. We actually saw no significant interactions this year. So just to sum everything I've talked about up, the mean yield did increase by approximately 59% from 2018 to 2019 in Objective 1, and about 17% in Objective 2. I didn't mention this before, but we did have two hurricanes occur in 2018, which may have contributed to the lower yield and fiber quality we saw that year. The Upland checks did yield significantly higher than PIMA in both trials and in both years of the study. Very few entries responded to the ginning method for length and strength. However, there may be more entries with a response in 2019. There were no significant differences in the net return for the Upland checks at the Upland base price and the top five PIMA varieties at the PIMA base price. Data from the management trial suggested that we would not need to irrigate PIMA in South Carolina, and planting between late April and mid-May may provide higher yields. And currently, PIMA accessions identified in this study with adequate yield performance and fiber quality are currently being used in breeding studies at the PDRIC. And I just want to acknowledge my committee, Dr. Michael Jones, Dr. Todd Campbell, Dr. William Bridges, and Dr. Francis Ray Jones, my funding from the South Carolina Cotton Board, and all the help with the roller ginning from Olvian Associates.